Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Rise and shine, people. It's time for the Friday edition of the Daily Tip presented by BetMGM. I'm Chelsea Messenger. He's Denton Day. And of course, we will be getting you your football fix on a Friday. We've got pick six. We've got some props. We've got the biggest games in college football because, of course, that is interesting with the college football playoff rankings and the balance. So it's going to be a great day. We've got plenty to talk about. So, Den, I was going to ask you this. So I know you watch all of these superhero movies. And as I'm watching Josh Allen, I think to myself, all right, so he's playing hero ball and he's trying too hard to make some of these throws. What's the equivalent of Superman throwing an interception? Like, does this happen in the movies where he, like, tries too hard and something goes wrong?
A little bit. It's less so with Superman. Superman's a little overpowered, you know, for my liking.
He is Superman.
He's OP. So he doesn't run into these issues a lot. But I'd say maybe it's like Thor. You know, Thor trying to do a little too much. You're trying to maybe impress Jane, his lover, a little too much. And he gets sloppy and throws interceptions. So I'd say Josh Allen's a little bit more like Thor last night.
Ah, well, still a decent comparison there. I think that's one of the few superhero movies I have seen. That's the one with Natalie Portman, right?
Yes. Wait, which one did you see? Because there's four of them.
One of them.
It was Natalie Portman, unfortunately, because I love Natalie Portman. If you saw the one with Natalie Portman, it was not the good one. There's one that does not have her that is the best one, and then she comes back after that. And that one was fine, but Thor 3 is the best one.
Well, I'm definitely not invested that much, but I did watch the movie because I love Natalie Portman. I think she has one of the best face cards in Hollywood. I don't know what the male perspective is, but like from a female take, I think she's so pretty.
She's up there. I'm not gonna dispute that one too much. She's up there.
Yeah. So I was trying to think of like a superhero metaphor, but again, I think I've seen like three of them maybe. Like I've seen the Thor movie. I've seen a couple of the Batmans. I haven't even seen like the new ones that are supposed to be good because they're like 4 hours long. Mama has things to do. And then I haven't seen the new Superman movie. I haven't seen any of those. So I was like, all right, so I need a metaphor, but I don't know what to use, but I'm sure Denton will because he watches all of them.
I've seen all of them. I still need to watch Fantastic Four, but because there's not a great slate of college football games tonight, you know, you get like Florida State and NC State. No disrespect to NC State, the Mighty Wolfpack. But I might end up watching Fantastic Four tonight.
So do you think Thor is the best comparison for Josh Allen? It does make sense because they're both like big guys, right?
For what he was last night. Yeah, because, you know, he got hurt a little bit at the beginning of the game when Will Anderson chased him down. I thought he was like hurt. You know, when you see a guy go down, he immediately starts kicking his feet. I was just like, no, it's not, you know, I don't. No disrespect to Mitch Trubisky, but like, no, I don't want to see Mitch Trubisky in a football game on a Thursday night. I know he has these, you know, these backup commercials that he has to film, but I didn't want to see Mitch Trubisky. So I was glad that Josh Allen came back in, but it did feel like the offense was just never, it wasn't the same after he got sacked that way by Will Anderson. And that's like vintage Will Anderson, by the way. I mean, that guy's fast. Mm-hmm. He can move. The way that he chased him down, there's not a lot of guys that I feel like are chasing down Josh Allen, but the way that Will Anderson did, that guy is going to be a problem in the AFC South for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. This defense, man. Like, the Texans only sit at 6-5, but, like, this is one of the best defenses in the NFL. And one of the best under teams in the NFL for that reason, because you can't always trust the offense to really get it going, but sometimes it doesn't actually matter. And here's the thing now is that the Texans are starting to win some of these close games like we saw last night. Let's go over our bets quickly because it wasn't a super fun night for us. So I banked on the fact that the Bills have been terrible against the run. And I said to myself, okay, Woody Marks was bad against the Titans. Give Nick Chubb some carries. So he did get some carries. He went over his carries prop, which you did have, which was 5.5, a very low number. But the yardage prop was 20.5. I think he finished with 16. Just need one more carry. Just one more carry, Nick Chubb. And then Josh Allen, I think, would have gotten his rush yards if he wasn't running backwards and being, you know, wasn't running for his life in some of these plays. And, like, I've gotten burned on that, like, with Patrick Mahomes, you know, sometimes, where, like, he's running the ball. It's just most of the time it's not forward. So 33.5 was a high number. That was an L for me. So two L's on the night for me. Good, great, grand.
I mean, I wasn't much better. I got the carries prop with Nick Chubb, but I was with you on the yardage that he did not hit. And I used a bonus bet for a Josh Allen 2+ touchdowns in a game where the Bills did not score nearly enough touchdowns to make that a reality. So that's just one of those things. I was so bummed, too, because Nick Chubb, it was like his first carry. He goes for 7 yards. I'm like, oh, in the back. His first quarter. First of all, they're already giving him carries in the first quarter, like early in the first quarter. I was like, all right, this is a wrap it up. You know, let me start making dinner, ordering dinner, because I got no money in my pocket. And then they just, maybe he averaged 2.7 yards a carry. And it's like, ugh. It started so well, and then it just tanked.
Yeah, I feel that. That's the worst with rushing props, is that they can go backwards. Like, you think you're doing well, and then they have run for negative yards. You're like, wait. So okay, that takes away the yardage total that we already have. Oh, it was not fun to watch. But here's the thing. The game itself was a fun watch. Maybe not for Bills fans, because this one went absolutely down to the wire as the Texans take down the Bills 23-19. Buffalo does not cover. Obviously, they lose outright. Total of 43.5. That would have been a nail biter, but the under does hit in this one. So Josh Allen, we know he can certainly do a lot, but he was limited in this game by this great defensive line of the Houston Texans and a great secondary. I should add that as well, because that is part of the picture as well. But I think it's jarring when you see somebody who is so tough to take down, like Josh Allen, get sacked this many times. And it's just a testament to this Texans defense and just how good, you know, they've been. And on paper, wasn't a great night for Josh Allen either. I know he was playing through some injuries. It did look like he injured his shoulder a little bit, but being sacked 8 times and 2 interceptions to no touchdowns is certainly not going to help the MVP case.
No, it's not. We had, you know, kicked that idea around a little bit yesterday. Like, oh, you know, if he goes crazy Thursday night, you know, primetime game, that would certainly help. And we know what he is capable of. He had 6 touchdowns the last time he played. This was a very different version of Josh Allen. And this is the version of Josh Allen that I think Bills fans are like, hey, we don't really want to see this version anymore. Like, we thought we left this way in the past. So the fact that we're seeing this variation of Josh Allen in November is not exactly a good thing, but it does speak more to their roster building issues, and they don't have wide receivers. And it was very apparent last night when you're without your main tight end in Dalton Kincaid, and for the second week in a row you decide to willingly scratch Keon Coleman. Josh Allen does not have enough bodies to throw to that can get separation against a great defense. You, at least in years prior, when Stephon Diggs was there, you would take Stephon Diggs against just about anybody in the secondary. So even if it was like a Derek Stingley, who's a great player, you'd like your chances with Stephon Diggs. You don't like your chances that much when it's the guys that he's throwing to. I know Khalil Shakir had a good performance, 8 catches, 110 yards, but it's not the level of explosiveness that you're going to need once you start to play good defenses. And, you know, if you look in the AFC, there's a bunch of teams that have really good defenses and really good guys on the outside, especially now that Indianapolis went and got Sauce Gardner. So they need to evaluate this situation with Keon Coleman a little bit to be like, hey, what is the deal here? Are we going to keep willingly scratching him? Can this be can whatever the situation is, him being late, whatever the discipline is, can we like make sure that this discipline is taken care of to a way that satisfies the organization by the time we get to December? Because you can't keep healthy scratching a good wideout.
Right. Like, just do the CeeDee Lamb thing. We're like, you know what? He was at the casino. It's fine. And I thought the funniest part of that story was like, listen here, I wasn't puking. I can hold my liquor. We'll talk about that story later. But like, my point being is that, okay, you hold him out for a series. Because at the end of the day, like, you're punishing Josh Allen as well, because he needs guys to throw the ball to. But I do think you do need to give some credit to the Texans defense, because we've seen him do it all season long. And I do think when you have a great pass rush and a great defensive scheme, you can make even the best quarterbacks in the NFL look mortal. Like, we've seen this with Patrick Mahomes. When he doesn't have a good offensive line, when there's a ferocious defensive line on the other side, like, Patrick Mahomes scrambles around and he doesn't look like a good quarterback. So I do think it's a little of both. But the Bills, we knew they were injured going into this one. I will say this, their defense was actually pretty solid. I know giving up 23 points to the Texans does not look solid, but it still feels like the Bills' defense is finally healthy, but then the offense doesn't show up. So it's just one of those things where the Bills just feel like a team that is not very consistent this year.
And I think also, if you look at it on the other side with Houston, one, they put themselves in a really good position that I think puts a lot of pressure this weekend on Kansas City. Kansas City drops to 5-6. Houston's now 6-5. Houston, when they were tied because of a conference record, had the tiebreaker over Kansas City. So it puts a lot of pressure on the Kansas City Chiefs. We're also seeing the birth of a superstar in Will Anderson. And if you followed him in college, you knew that he was going to be good in the NFL. He has 10.5 sacks on the season, Chelsea. He's gone six games in a row with a sack. And he had 2.5 last night. He was unblockable. And it's very, very rare that we see this level of production this quickly for a guy that's as young as Will Anderson, right? This is only year three. He was drafted the same year as C.J. Stroud. This is only year three, and he already has 10.5 sacks. It feels like he's on pace to get to 14, 15. And when you start getting to the teens in the sack department, like, that's a legit game wrecker. And he's becoming legit game wrecker. It's really fun to watch.
Yeah, this defense in general, like, it has pieces all over the field, because it's not just him. It's on the secondary with Derek Stingley Jr., who is an all-pro. But you look at this game and you look at the Texans, and I think, like, it's funny that you said that I think we're witnessing the birth of a superstar. I thought you were going to say Davis Mills. Because here's the thing, Davis Mills has been pretty good. Like, I'm not going to say the birth of a superstar. But, like, I was wondering where you were going to go with that one, because here's the thing. Like, I think, again, a lot of people looked at this game and said, Josh Allen versus Davis Mills? Why would you ever choose the team with Davis Mills? And Davis Mills, like, didn't put up numbers that rival, the birth of a superstar. But he was good enough to win a game with a team that has a very good defense. Like, he only threw for 153 yards, but he did have the two touchdowns and no picks. So he's driving the car just fine.
He's doing well. He's doing really well for a backup. They still want C.J. Stroud. I don't think anyone is like, man, is there going to be an open quarterback competition? There's not. There's not going to be that at all. But he's done enough. And, these short week games are always incredibly challenging, even if you are just a regular time starter, as evident by the fact that Josh Allen did not play well on the other side, and he's a superstar. So the fact that Davis Mills was able to keep the ball largely out of harm's way, have two touchdowns, move the football, and then put them in a position late in the game to win was impressive. So he definitely gets maybe some poetry snaps for that one, but the superstar title is reserved right now for Will Anderson.
I thought you were going to give us some like monologue on Davis Mills. I was sat and ready to listen.
I thought about that last night, but then I was like, I'm trying to be a better person, because I couldn't do a monologue about Davis Mills without making fun of his abnormally large neck, and I didn't want to come on here and make fun of the giraffe. So I was just like, I'm not gonna do the monologue bit.
I feel like that would help quarterbacks, though, like, see over the line of scrimmage. So maybe it's one of those flaws that's actually helpful, right? I mean, somewhere I'm sure Kyler Murray wishes he had a neck that long to see over the line of scrimmage. One thing before we go to break, it was surprising to me that they got away, that the Bills went away from James Cook running the ball, because he was averaging 6.8 yards per carry. Like, there was a juncture in this game where you're like, what are we doing? Like, you're running the ball effectively. Why not give it to James Cook?
Including the breakaway touchdown. That was brilliant. They just needed short yardage. He makes a jump cut, and then he is gone. I was actually kind of upset because I still was, at that point, riding my Josh Allen 2+ touchdown. So I was like, somebody chase him down. Somebody chase him down. Josh Allen will take that touchdown away at the goal line.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Guys, we're back off and rolling on a Friday morning here on the Daily Tip. I'm Chelsea Messenger, Denton Day in for Jinx. In a few minutes, we'll get to the early slate in the NFL and some interesting games that have some injury question marks. Because I was just looking this up myself. I don't think we know if Aaron Rodgers is going to play for the Steelers. And I'm trying to like search all these articles for like reading between the lines. And I think for Aaron Rodgers, like what I have, gathered from all these articles that I have read is that if they can find some sort of a brace for his wrist, so when he falls, it won't be a problem, that there is a chance that he's going to play, and he was back at practice. So, like, I'm leaning towards him actually playing. But, Dan, let me ask you, if there is a big question mark like this, do you bet on games like this, or do you say, hey, that's a big question mark, I'm going to save my money?
So, generally, I would not. But I do think there is a way to bet on this and feel kind of confident betting on this just because it's the Chicago offense and Caleb Williams, who you're still wanting to see just a little bit more from a quarterback going up against the Steelers defense. That feels like the kind of defense that would really fluster him. So I would still like take that into consideration and decide whether or not I want to place a wager on it, but I would wait because you have to know about the quarterback. And he was limited in practice yesterday, didn't practice on Wednesday. So at the very least, there's positive trajectory, but a limited on Thursday is not a guarantee that he's going to play on Sunday, right? Because they need to find a brace. Now, I feel like if there was anyone that was going to be able to find a brace, it would be an NFL football team, particularly the Pittsburgh Steelers. Right. They have really great medical facilities around them with the University of Pittsburgh. Yeah,
just get
his hand right. But I also feel like there's added incentive for him to play in Chicago, as much as he kind of danced around the question a little bit, maybe not danced around, but he tried to downplay the significance of playing in Chicago. He has to realize that this is going to be the last time. Like, even if he does play next year, what is the likelihood that he is going to be playing on a team that then also gets to go play in Chicago? Probably slim. So he realizes this is the last one. I think that's going to be the added incentive that he needs. Take a shot, put the brace on, go out there, and then deal with all the after effects later.
Yeah. It's funny to me, if you read his quotes, how he says one thing, and then if you listen long enough or if you read long enough into the quotes, he'll say something else, and you're like, all right, there's a glimmer of something there. So the quotes with him, playing against the Bears and saying, okay, maybe some added incentive to get back on the field, question mark. And he was talking about, like, being how he had been the villain against the Bears, and he said, I'd rather not be the villain anymore. I mean, I'm not in Green Bay. I feel like we can let bygones be bygones. Maybe I can, I guess. You're like, oh, look at him, mature individual. He's past it. And then later on in the quotes, he says, it's a great rivalry. When I first got to Green Bay, the Bears had the all-time series lead. When I left, the Packers did. So you're like, oh, well, he is keeping score. So that's the thing. Like, I think that he's trying to be this mature, rise above it guy in these quotes. But I think we all know that he would love to beat the Bears again, especially, you know, at the tail end of his career.
I don't want to hear any nonsense of I don't want to be the villain, as if he has not been on record on multiple occasions telling that organization and that city that he owns them. And he wants to be like, actually, guys, I'm pretty cool now. I'm a nice guy. No. You are going to be hated there for eternity. They'll boo you when you go into the Hall of Fame, and you need to love that they're going to boo. Like, that's the fun of this. They hate you. You don't like them. This is why we do this. So I don't want anything about, I want to be the good guy. I want to be the hero. You're not the hero. You crush their hopes and dreams. Our board op, Kenny, is a Bears fan. His hopes and dreams have been crushed by Aaron Rodgers for nearly two decades. He hates him with a passion, and he should. I don't want anything about a hero talk for Aaron Rodgers in Chicago.
Yeah, especially, like, I just want it to jump to, like, a supercut of all the quotes that he said about owning the Bears and the discount double check. Like, let's compare the words and the actions here, Aaron, and see if they actually match up, because methinks that they do not. All right, so the line of this game that we are referencing, Steelers and Bears in Chicago, Chicagoland 2.5, total 45.5. And I understand that we're probably going to wait because we do need to know who's playing quarterback. But the reason that I already put this in a teaser is because here's the thing. When the Bears' next game came up, I said to myself, this is a Bears team that's 7-3. At some point, it feels like the pendulum's going to swing the other direction. This, in my heart of hearts, does not feel like a 7-3 team. So, like, we'll wait and see who the next opponent is, but I do think there is an opportunity to maybe sell, you know, the Bears at their peak at this point. So, like, that's what I feel like this situation is you are selling a Bears team that's maybe overachieved a little bit. They've won some close games, and they've played some bad teams. So I think no matter who the quarterback is, and it should be noted that Mason Rudolph is at least a decent backup, and we saw last night, you know, with Davis Mills, that veteran backups can provide a lot for a team, and they can at least drive the car. I think the X factor in this one is, what are we going to get for the Steelers defense? That at times, you know, gets after the quarterback and looks really good, but there was a juncture in the season where they were giving up like 25 points per game. And for a unit that's one of the highest paid defenses in the NFL, that's not great. So I think if you count on the Steelers defense in this one, you say, okay, I'm going to take the points with the Steelers. I don't know. It is a short line, though. Den, do you have a lean?
I do not until I know who's playing quarterback. I am not going to give my money, my hard-earned money, in back Mason Rudolph. I'm just not going to do it. Davis Mills had a great day last night. He did not have nearly a good enough day to convince me that this is the week for backup quarterbacks and that I should then pay to have Mason Rudolph cover. Now, if Mason Rudolph does play, I would like the under, because I don't think that Chicago is going to score a ton of points. I don't think Pittsburgh would score a ton of points. So if that number right now is 45.5, which is a pretty decent sized number, as we know, in the NFL, and you don't really trust either offense, now might be the time, before we know who's playing quarterback, to capitalize off of that number, while it does feel like the books still have a small hope that it will be Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, so we'll wait and see on that one. All right, some other interesting games on the slate. We have seen the line in the Patriots-Bengals game go down, and we've seen Joe Burrow at practice. Not sure what we're going to get there. Is that another one where you wait and see? Because, like, I don't think Joe Burrow is going to play. It feels soon. But again, he's out there and he's slinging it.
You'd felt like he was going to play after Thanksgiving. So the idea of him playing before Thanksgiving is a little soon, but I think this is being expedited by the fact that they're 3-7. You know, had they have won last week, maybe you you keep them out until after Thanksgiving, get that extra week. But mathematically, you still technically are alive in the postseason race. It's going to take a lot, but you're technically alive. I don't really think it matters. I usually, Chelsea, don't love backing quarterbacks that are coming back for the first time off a sustained injury in a sustained period away. And as much as I love Joe Burrow, I'd literally take a bullet for the man. I can't put my money and say I think that they're going to be the ones to knock off the team that's been a buzzsaw in New England, because Drake May's playing awesome, as we know. That team itself is really well-rounded. And with no Ja'Marr Chase for Cincinnati, I mean, you pay T. Higgins a lot of money, so this has to be a big-time T. Higgins game, regardless of who is quarterback. But with no Ja'Marr Chase and a quarterback potentially coming off of a very long injury, I don't know that I can put my money with Cincinnati there.
But do you think this is why the line moved? Because we have seen significant line movement in this game. So it was as high as the Patriots laying 8.5 earlier in the week. I think it got as high as 7.5 over at MGM. Now it's as low as 5.5 at some shops, and it's 6 at MGM. So, like, there has to be a reason why this line is moving, right?
That would be Burrow. Yeah. Unless there's something that we don't know that's going on in New England, that would be, there's very few guys that are going to swing a line by that many points, and Joe Burrow is one of them.
Yeah, he's one of the few. One of the few, the proud, the Burrows. But I was going to bring this up as well. I also think it's funny that Cam Newton, of all people, gave the Patriots bulletin board material this week. Please tell me you saw this. This little beef with Cam Newton, Stephen A. Smith, and Drake May. So Drake May says something to the effect of, like, I don't know what Cam Newton's talking about. Like, I don't even know what show he's on. Like, whatever. And then Stephen A. Smith goes on, like, First Take and, like, has this long soliloquy about how everybody watches First Take, and you're a liar if you didn't know that Cam Newton was on First Take, which, if I might add, I think Cam Newton just joined First Take, like, a few months ago. Mm-hmm. But I do think, like, this is something where if you're a young quarterback, you stay the course and, like, listen, I'm not going to take the bait. Like, I feel like these commentators do this on purpose because people love drama, and they people love drama that's commentator versus player. And so I do think if there's anybody who can, like, lead Drake May in the right direction, it's Mike Vrabel. And Drake May does not seem like somebody who is, like, super bothered by this.
I just thought it was silly that Stephen A. Smith got personally offended by the fact that Drake May didn't know that Cam Newton was on his show, and everybody watches First Take. I don't know a single person that watches First Take. Everyone's kind of done with it, especially a young person. A young person didn't, like, for me, I grew up watching ESPN. ESPN was kind of in its prime when I was younger. You had all the big sillies there. The shows were all really good. It was really, you know, predicated on sports and getting to the sports stuff. There were some entertainment factors there, but it was really about sports. Drake May's like 10 years younger than I am. He didn't grow up with that variation of ESPN. And we also know this for a fact, Chelsea. Most NFL locker rooms watch NFL Network, because they're kind of in bed with NFL Network. So everyone talks about Good Morning Football, at least they did when Good Morning Football was at the peak of its power. I just don't know if guys are watching First Take, and if Stephen A. Smith had any idea of how the clock works. You're not sitting around in an NFL locker room at 10 a.m. You're in meetings. You're installing. You're at practice. Like, you're literally just not by a television during the hours of which his show is taking place. It's great for regular human beings. They're in your 9-to-5s, whatever, right? You can sit down, you can watch it, maybe you're listening to it. But an NFL player is doing NFL player things during that time slot. He's not watching.
Right. Like, I feel like, especially Drake May, which I don't know if you follow his, like, wife's content on Instagram, but, like, they're making casseroles. Like, they're doing other things. So, like, Stephen A. Smith should not take it personally that one person is not watching his show, especially somebody who's in the middle of football season. Like, get over it, dude. It's not all about you, which is a concept that I feel like Stephen A. needs to learn. All right, let's run down some of these other games because from a trend perspective, there is one I wanted to briefly mention. It is a high spread in this Lions and Giants game, Detroit laying 10.5. But this is a trend that a lot of people in the gambling space constantly bring up. The Lions are one of the best teams coming off a loss against the spread. 13-0 ATS in games coming off a loss. So the Lions are coming off a loss. Then, do you trust this trend?
I do. And I also trust it because the quarterback situation is going to be a little bit different in New York. You know, we're thinking the Jackson Dart is going to be able to go. I'm curious if, after suffering the concussion, how does that impact the way that he plays? He's an exciting player, but he's also an exciting player in losses. You know, they're 2-9. It felt like in the early stages of the year, we are so hyped with Jackson Dart and Cam Scataboo because they're funny. And, you know, post-game stuff, they're like the boys and they dress weird and cool or whatever, and it's the exciting whites. But how does he adjust his play style after the concussion? Because if he's not using his legs, he's not nearly as dynamic enough of as a thrower to take advantage of this Detroit defense, especially with no Malik Nabers. So with that in mind, I love the line for Detroit because I just don't trust that Jackson Dart is going to be in a position with the way that that roster is constructed in New York that he's going to be able to keep it close.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things that we have talked about, like teams I don't want to fade. The Lions are one of those, even with huge spreads, because we know the Lions are fully capable of scoring 50 points. So, like, I ain't doing that. So even if it's a no play for me, it's never the Giants for me. All right, quickly, Seahawks-Titans, a game that nobody cares about except for maybe here in Nashville. I will say this, one trend to know, the Seahawks have the best cover margin in the NFL. Meanwhile, the Titans are the worst covering team in the NFL. So if you look at that spread, you're like, 13.5, that's pretty high. Just know that I will not be in the Titans on that game. And Colts and Chiefs, I feel like this is probably one of the games of the week to see if the Colts are truly for real. Den, do you have a side in this game? Kansas City laying 3.5?
I'm on the Chiefs. I cannot. The Chiefs getting to 5-6 right before Thanksgiving, I can't fathom. So I'm on the Chiefs in this one. I think they get it done. I don't know that they cover that 3.5. Chelsea, but I get it done, so maybe I'd put them in a money line parlay. We talked about that yesterday, getting involved in some money line parlays in the NFL. That might be a play that I would put a money line parlay. I just can't see them getting to 5-6 a few days before Thanksgiving.
It's crazy, but I think I'm going to have to wait and see, because I thought that trend of Andy Reid coming off a bye, I think they were 22-3 straight up, and that trend came to an end last week against the Broncos. So maybe you got to quit the Chiefs for now. All right, coming up next, the late slate, the best games, and our bets. Coming your way next on the Daily Tip.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Few moments here on the show. We'll get to the late slate in the NFL as we go over all of the games from a betting standpoint here on the Daily Tip. I'm Chelsea Messenger, Den Day, and for Jenks. And so, Den, I kind of peppered this in earlier because this was my favorite story of yesterday. And I feel like it was kind of pushed under the rug since the Cowboys are coming off a win, and both CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens had great games. But if you remember, back to that game for the Cowboys against the Raiders, CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens sat out the first drive. And we thought to ourselves, wonder why. And now these reports are surfacing that they were out of the casino and they did name drop the Red Rock Casino, which I might add is one of my favorite personal casinos in Vegas. But the funniest part when they're asking CeeDee Lamb about like these reports that he was like puking on the casino floor, he was like, no, no, no. That is disrespectful to assume that I was puking due to drinking too much because you know what? I can hold my liquor. And you're like, that's the most disrespectful part of somebody assuming that you were drinking the night before a football game? So I guess CeeDee Lamb wants to protect his honor when it comes to his drinking abilities.
So it's a respect thing. You got to know that I can handle I can handle mine. I might have been doing some other things that weren't great, but I can handle mine. I've never been to the Red Rock Casino. Yeah, I went to Vegas
not
for
on the
Bash.
Strip.
That would be why.
It's in Summerlin.
I don't know where that is.
It's a nice suburb, but we lived at the Red Rock Casino for a while when Jake played AAA baseball there because the stadium's in Summerlin and it's right across the street, but it's very nice. But do you think this is going to be a problem moving forward? I do think if the Cowboys were in like the middle of like the playoff hunt, maybe this would be a bigger deal, but it just feels like the Cowboys are number one, irrelevant, and number two, like people just don't care as much about the Cowboys. It's wild to me that you look at this story for the Cowboys where their receivers were drinking heavily the night before a game and people are like, ah, whatever. And then you look at the storylines coming out of Eagles camp where the Eagles are 8-2 and they're like, we have so many problems. You're like, what are you talking about? Like, and they're playing each other this week. So I just thought that it's a funny dichotomy.
Yeah, can't wait for the Hard Knocks that covers the entire NFC East to get to this point in the season. Honestly, I'd think if the Cowboys were in the playoff race, we wouldn't know about it because they wouldn't have sat them. Like, that's why I'm so stunned by what Buffalo is doing with Keon Coleman. If you are in the midst of a playoff chase and you're sitting guys willingly, more power to you for being just uberly disciplined and wanting to create great young men and all those things. If the Cowboys were in the playoff hunt, those two guys, they're getting the first two passes of the game. They're calling a screen for George Pickens, and they're saying, CeeDee Lamb, hit a deep in, and we're going to get you. So that we wouldn't know about that situation at all until it came out in reports because someone just happened to be around the Red Rock Casino. I assume that's where Dallas was staying. That's a tough thing, right? Because if you're going to play in Las Vegas, you don't really have a lot of hotels that don't have a casino associated with it. So I know they're like breaking curfew, if you will, but literally all they have to do is go downstairs. They're still in the building.
Right.
And they're going out having fun because, you know, it's a city inside a lot of these things. Like I went to Caesars mm-hmm. when I went to a bachelor party. They had everything. In that, like, I didn't have to leave if I didn't want to. I did because I wanted to experience some of what Vegas was and that heat. But they got a city in there. Like, there was a place where I could have bought a Rolex. I don't have Rolex money, but I could have bought a Rolex. It was just there. I was like, I saw it on the final day that I was there. I didn't even know this place existed. So that's a tough thing to kind of wrangle if you are an NFL team and the curfew and all those things.
Right, because it's unavoidable. Like, this is the hotel lobby, is the casino. And what are you going to do? Just sit in your room? And, like, the casino's open all day. Maybe they weren't even, you know, up that late. It could have been, like, 7:30 or something. Because you never know what time of day it is in the casinos because they don't have any windows. But it's one of those things where, I don't know, maybe the Cowboys still have a shot at the playoffs. But also, they only sat them the first drive of the game. So, like, I don't know how big of a lesson that really instilled. It's like, okay, the first three or four plays, you're not playing. But the rest of the game, get back out there.
Yeah, go out there. We need you. Come on.
Right. So I don't think that was that hard line of a stance. I don't know what's going on with Keon Coleman, though. So, like, I think a lot of it depends on what is actually happening. So I'm going to reserve judgment until I hear more details about that. All right, let's get to the late slate, including the Eagles and the Cowboys. And let's start there. Because at first, when I saw this line, after the Eagles put on an offensive clinic against the Raiders, my initial thought was, okay, it's time to sell high on this Eagles, on this Cowboys offense. Because, of course, you're going to put up great numbers against the Raiders, but everybody puts up great numbers against the Raiders. The Eagles defense is certainly something else, and that has been the constant throughout the season, is that maybe there's problems on the offense for Philadelphia, but their defense has been absolutely menacing. So I look at this line, Philly laying 2.5 on the road here, And I think that is my lean. I think I'm going to go with the Eagles. Laying the points here. I know their offense is not super fun to watch, but I do think the defense will keep them in it. At the end of the day, the Eagles keep winning football games. So I think I trust them in the last 2 minutes of the game if it comes down to that.
I'm kind of feeling an under. You know, 47.5 is a big number for an Eagles defense that doesn't allow a lot of points. And a couple weeks ago, you know, we saw a game with Dallas where we thought they were just going to run it up on the scoreboard, and they didn't. I know they did against Vegas, but offensively, it's not like they're just hanging 40 every single weekend. And then on the other side, right, it's hell on offense for Philadelphia. A.J. Brown is literally in hell right now. I love it. It's the most hilarious storyline that's happened this entire NFL season. That man hates his life right now. And I just don't know that I can trust Philadelphia's offense to score 24. So if you still like him to cover, and you don't like him to score 24, can't get over can't get over. So I like the under at 47.5, but I do feel kind of odd that that number is as high as it is, because we see a lot of really short numbers across the rest of the slate, like the Browns and Raiders with Shador's debut. That's a 36 on the total. Mm-hmm. The Falcons and the Saints with Kirko Chains, and I think it's Tyler Shuck that's playing for the Saints. That franchise is irrelevant. But that's a 40.5 number. So it's not like Vegas is scared of giving low numbers. So this number being a high number, maybe this is where the other shoe drops, but in a positive way, and A.J. Brown graduates from hell to purgatory, and the offense actually plays well.
I think a lot of it is based on what you think of the Cowboys defense. If you think the Cowboys defense is fixed by Quinn and Williams, because Quinn and Williams did make a name for himself in that last game. He was all over the field, but the Raiders' offensive line is not good, and Geno Smith is not great at avoiding sacks. So I do think it's going to be a different story for the Eagles, and here's the thing about the Eagles as well, is that they have played back-to-back good teams. Like, we have seen games that feel like baseball scores almost, but it was against the Lions and the Packers. Like, I put those teams in several tiers above the defense that we're going to see for the Cowboys. I'm not super sold on the Cowboys defense, so I think maybe that's why the total is where it is.
But are you sold on Jalen Hurts? Because he's going to have to be better. You know, the Saquon is not having the year that he had last year. We're very aware of that. And my guess is that because of the addition of Quinn and Williams, it's going to be very difficult for him on Sunday again, which means Jalen Hurts is going to have to throw the ball. And we can do all, we can like list his resume and his accolades, but are you putting your money on Jalen Hurts having to throw the ball for a majority of the game?
I mean, you don't think that he can turn things around? I feel like this is a very similar like theory and mindset as the Chiefs game. So you're telling me that you can believe in the Chiefs, but you can't believe in the Eagles? Like, I feel like they're both teams that you kind of leave the light on for, where it's not going to shock me if the Eagles snap out of it and it's like, whoa, Jalen Hurts is a good quarterback. Who knew?
It wouldn't stun me, but I'd put way more on the Chiefs getting out of that than Philadelphia, because they have legit problems. The Chiefs, it's not like they hate each other. They hate each other in Philadelphia. A.J. Brown is not thrilled with what is happening there, and he's just now openly letting people know. Like, what he said yesterday was, it was not on a stream. It was not when he was off camera, but we knew he was there. He was in front of reporters and said, I can't look at other people's numbers because it makes me sad. I felt kind of bad for him. I was like, damn, my man's going through an emotional moment right now. I'm going through an emotional moment too, because he's on my fantasy team. But he just does not like the situation there. I think that's bleeding over a little bit.
He even said something. He was like, well, look at Saquon's numbers. He's not Saquon this year. I was like, oh, no. Don't throw him under the bus, which is not what I think he was meaning to do. I just think he's just frustrated. And he's saying, hey, look at the offense as a whole. And I do think the differentiating factor between the Chiefs and the Eagles is that I still trust the offensive play calling in Kansas City. Like, nobody's looking at Andy Reid and be like, oh, I don't think he can figure out the offensive scheme out. Because isn't that the question in Philly? Is that, like the play calling boring. Is boring, and it's the same personnel as last year. What's the problem?
Yeah, I mean, losing, you know, Kellen Moore hurts, but you just elevate a guy. So he did all the things. He saw all the things that Kellen Moore was doing. and then he's just not doing them. Like the Chiefs, it's just you look at Travis Kelce and you're like, well, he's old. And that's pretty much it. That's like that's why the offense isn't all that good. Like he's kind of old, and we still can't trust Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy on a week in week out basis yet. They just don't have enough NFL time under their belt. With Philadelphia though, like they're just boring. And it's not like if this was like week three, it'd be all right. Like we're not giving them enough. Yeah. But when all of the NFL quarterbacks are coming out here and being like, "Yeah, this offense sucks," I think it's fair for us to be like, yeah, his offense does suck. I agree with Drew Brees. He knows what he's talking about.
All right, finally, we have like a minute left. I wanted to touch on this game briefly because I didn't want to lose listeners because it's not going to be a fun game. The Browns and the Raiders. And this total has been dropping like a rock, and it now sits at 36. So I think both of us are kind of leaning towards the under. It makes a ton of sense with the Browns defense, what Myles Garrett is doing this year. The Raiders offense, we saw them against the Cowboys. That's not an offense I want to trust. But at what point is the number too low? Like 36 is really low.
That is really low for an NFL game. Like that's really low. But I bet it. I'd play it. And I feel like we're jumping on the ride the way that we did with Iowa a couple years ago. I'm on.
They can't make the numbers low enough for Geno Smith and Shedeur Sanders. All right, coming up next, hour three. And speaking of college football, we will get to the best games on the slate after the break here on the Daily Tip, presented by BetMGM.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.